Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Boat Briefing podcast.
This week's episode is sponsored by KVH, the service which creates innovative connectivity solutions for customers on sea, land and air around the globe. KVH is a global leader in mobile connectivity, content and value-added services with technology designed to enable a mobile world and keep mariners always connected. To find out more, visit www.kvh.com.
Well, I'm Deputy Editor Caroline White, and here to help me navigate through all of this week's news from the world of super yachting is our digital editor, Katia Damborski, who you just heard from. Hi, Katia.
Hello, Caroline. Yes, thank you for letting me do the little intro bit. I rarely get to do the intro bit, so that was quite exciting.
I mean, you did it 1,000 times better than me. I just can't read that one for some reason. I stumble over it every time. But Katia, it sounds as if you were running around all over Italy for a few days last week, visiting designers and yards, essentially only leaving when national holidays forced you to stop working. Tell us where you've been and what you've seen.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't realise before I did this trip that Italians take Easter very seriously. I was trying to pack in quite a lot in the few days that I was there. But I started out with an event with Hot Lab, which was really lovely. You must know Hot Lab, the design studio. They are 20 years old and they have 22 super yachts on their books right now, which is quite exciting. That actually amounts to about 1,000 linear meters of super yachts.
Wow.
So the reason I was there is they just moved into a new office in Milan, this gorgeous old building, and they had a little welcome party there and it was really nice. It's kind of really fun to get to go to an informal get together. Their parent company, which is the Sweden-based Viken Group, was all there, and then some other journalists, some other designers, just some, you know, a real nice Italian jolly. So that was a very pleasant way to spend the week. And then after that, I got the train, actually, which is another baptism of fire, because there's like a fast Italian train and then the slow Italian trains. And I was, you know, with my cost-saving hat on, Caroline, knowing that you were going to be approving these expenses, thought we'll do the cheaper train, not realising that it was about 6 hours to Ancona.
It was
actually quite nice. I mean, the first train was awful because everyone was going home for Easter. So I was like packed on this train with half of Italy. But then the second part of the journey, like when you're going along by the sea, is quite nice. You can work, they have Wi-Fi, so very nice. And as I said, I was going to Ancona, where I got to see Cantiere della Marche and Fretti Group. So really nice seeing those two. They're clients, but they're also friends of ours, and they were very welcoming and showed me around the shipyards.
Fantastic. So was that the double decker? I love those double decker trains. Is that the double decker train?
Actually, you know what? I think so. On the way back, Caroline, I sprung for the fast train.
Did you?
I think that one might have been double decker. On the way there, it was single decker all the way through the countryside.
Okay. Well, for future reference, you've got my permission to book a slightly fancier train. Well, speaking of Italy, the World Super Yacht Awards are coming up on May 3rd, this year sponsored by Aquara Club and the Glenrothers, and they will be held in Venice. And Venice does just seem like the perfect spot for it. I remember last year at the World Super Yacht Awards in Istanbul, various Italian parties were vying for their region, standing out on the terrace of the Kempinski Palace at the awards, which were held there. I remember Giorgio Cassetta, the designer, pitching for Rome. Martino Mino from Nauta Yachts, who's based in Milan, I think he was actually pitching for Venice. So credit to him for impartiality, unless he's secretly from Venice, I don't know. But I think his point, aside from all the water in Venice, was that Venice is somewhere you really feel sequestered. And I do think he's right that that's important. The main event will be held at a really spectacular venue, which very frustratingly I've been sworn to secrecy on, but I can say it's also super private. So once you're there, you're just with the people you want to be with. But Venice is also the kind of city where if you go out for drinks at some beautiful waterside bar, you'll probably bump into others who are there for the event. So it's just the right size.
Yes, I'm also super excited to be going to Venice, and you're absolutely right. It's such a good city for this kind of thing, and we'll really be among the industry there.
So as much as we're looking forward to that, Katia, you were in Palm Beach recently. Tell us about that.
Yes, so before I did my little Ancona and Milan trip, I was in Palm Beach. And if you tuned into last week's episode of the Boat Briefing podcast, you would have heard Cecile and Lucy talk about that. But I just wanted to say that I also had a great time there. I think it's fast becoming one of my favourite boat shows in the calendar. It's such a good size. It's so well located and the quality of boats there is fantastic. So I went on board some really great ones. A few standouts like Casino Royale, which is the former Solo, the Tenkoa flagship, 72 metres. And I got to check her out post-refit. Ice Bear, which is a 52 metre fed ship. She has this amazingly high crow's nest, which offers these stunning views if you can stomach being up quite so high, looking out over the boat show. And then one of the big highlights was actually Bookends, which is the 55 metre Heesen.
Yes, so I understand you had a bit of a chat with the owner, Bob Book, is that right? So this is like his 18th Bookends or something. I know that we interviewed him a while back when he owned a 47 metre Heesen of the same name.
Yeah, there have been a fair few Bookends. And yes, I did get to chat to Bob. He is so great. He's such a character. I got on board the boat wearing an orange dress because Sarah from Heesen, she told me to wear an orange dress because the boat is kind of orange themed. I got on board the sun deck where the kind of forward lounge deck where the interview was taking place. And the first thing he said was, "Who the fuck told you you could wear orange on my boat?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, did actually." Can we swear on the podcast? Sorry, listeners.
Do you know why? I suppose orange is a Dutch thing. I always thought orange was a Dutch thing. Is it just his favourite colour?
You know what? That should have been my first question to him, but I was so stunned by his his question that I didn't ask. But he's such a great owner. He's very very passionate about boats, very passionate about Heesen as a yard, and very involved in the boat, which is always quite a refreshing thing.
Okay, well, I think that's a very exciting one. So will we be hearing more from you and Bob Book at any time soon?
Yes, I hope so. I'm trying to nail them down for this podcast, in fact, for a future episode, and hopefully something online as well.
Excellent. Okay. Well, talking of involved owners, our feature on Babiana, the Oyster 885 GT, is in the April issue of Boat International, and it's also up on our website right now. I think what's so interesting about that boat is that she's the product of a really exemplary collaboration between a yard, a designer, and experienced owners. So those owners are Anthony and Sophie Ward, who wanted to do the Oyster World Rally, and the 885 model from Oyster really appealed for its comfort and its range, but they also wanted higher performance. So they worked with Humphreys Yacht Design and Oyster and poured all their knowledge into creating this GT version of the 885. And she's a real triumph. It's a feature worth reading.
Yeah, especially for the sailing lovers out there. It's a very nice yacht report, I thought.
Absolutely.
And then something else that's live on the website now is the 50 most expensive yachts for sale. This is always a difficult feature to put together because we have to keep track of all these price drops and all these changing CAs and then the specs for all these 50 yachts. And this is all done manually, by the way. We don't have any automatic thing that pulls us in. This is a labour of our love. So, Caroline, would you like to hazard a guess at the top? What is the most expensive? Do you know what the most expensive yacht is without looking at the script?
I have an inkling because I saw a news story recently. So I can guess. Do you want me to guess the boat or the price?
The boat. The price is a bit of a tall order. Would you know that?
Yeah, I'd say, no, I wouldn't. So don't ask me. So I would guess, because I saw that she'd entered the market recently, Dar would be number one.
That is extremely close, but she's actually the second most expensive.
Okay.
Lady Lara takes the top spot. So really? Lady Lara is 230 million euro and Dar is 208 million euro. But you're right, Dar was very recently listed with Large Yacht Corps. I really love that boat. She's designed like a hammerhead shark, is it? She draws inspiration from sharks.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty spectacular boat. But Lady Lara is pretty. So I remember when we wrote the feature on that, Pascal Raymond's favourite design is Lady Lara, and they have worked on some really spectacular yachts, Raymond Langton design. So that kind of gives you a measure of how beautiful her interior is. Yeah, I can see why she's number one.
Yes, and we have a feature on her on the website as well, so if you fancy reading that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got features on pretty much all of the boats that we discuss in this podcast on our website, or we will do in the future because we work very hard to get them. So now looking at our list, I can tell you, so Lady Lara, we've mentioned already, is asking 230 million euros with Malwood and Wyco. She's a 91 meter Lursen. Dar is asking 208 million euros with Large Yacht Corp, as Katia has mentioned. She's an Ocean Co and she's 90 meters. Pelorus is in number three. She is asking 185 million euros with Burgess. She's 114.5 meters. Aurora is asking 130 million euros with Blue Water Yachting. She is at number four. And Phoenix 2 asking 124.95 million is with Burgess and Cecil Wright and Partners. And she is 90 meters. So that is the top five, I believe.
All Lursens except for Dar.
All Lursens except for Dar. Yeah, you can see when you do lists like this, you can see just what place Lursen holds in the sort of rankings of the biggest builders.
Yeah. All right. So on to slightly more affordable boats then, our brokerage picks of the week. Caroline, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, okay, so moving from very large boats to rather more modestly sized yachts, the 24-metre sailing yacht Peregrine is newly listed for sale with Edmiston and Berthon International, and I like her because she's a lovely, airy boat with a lovely light-coloured interior. You wouldn't need to do anything to her. She's kind of ready to go. She's built of carbon fibre in Germany in 2015 by Y-Yachts, and she's a fast family cruising sloop. But apparently she also performs well on the race course, even in light winds. Her clean design and naval architecture are by Luca Brenta, with an interior by David Chipperfield. The Y8 series is known for its simple and minimal design that allows for relaxed, easy sailing, apparently. Accommodation is for six guests in three double cabins, and there are quarters for two crew. Peregrine is asking 2.75 million euros with VAT paid. So I think she's a pretty good deal. What about you, Cassie? What's your pick?
That is a super affordable boat. And I like how you caveated everything by saying apparently.
Okay, I think they're telling the truth. But some of that was quotes from the yard and the broker. So I don't want to, you know, I haven't gone on the boat and verified all of it. So, you know.
Oh, fair enough. And can you sail, Caroline?
I did when I was much younger. I probably couldn't anymore. My dad was very into sailing, so he made me sail when I was little. But it was not fun. So it wasn't kind of med sailing. It was kind of English sailing, which is a bit rainy, and people shout at you a lot. That was my vibe.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I've actually got a cheaper boat. Can you believe that?
A cheaper price. That's quite annoying. Go on. What's your boat?
Okay. So this boat is maybe an acquired taste. It's a classic, right? So I like it because it's got the character, but it's a 31 meter classic called Midnight Sun, and she's built by Camper Nicholson's the yard, and she's joined the market with Camper Nicholson's the broker. She was launched in 1962. She has a canoe stern, and she remains, quote, in her authentic condition, unquote, which means a lot of wood, a lot of carpets, quite thick curtains, quite a lot of upholstery everywhere. But look, I really like it. I like to feel like I'm like a old Victorian lady when I'm on board a boat. I like to be in my vintage drawing room saloon and, you know, sit there with my cigar and my whiskey, or, you know, the golden era of yachting. This is what this yacht reminds me of.
What kind of a Victorian lady are you sitting at the bar with your whiskey and cigar?
Okay. Well, actually, originally I was thinking like, oh, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Winston Churchill, but then I realised those people were quite different timelines, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah. A little bit later, yeah.
Okay, great. So that's the vibe that Midnight Sun gives me. But she's asking, can you guess?
Well, less than mine, which was 2.75. 2 million euros?
1.25 million euros.
Wow.
A 31 meter boat. I think that's pretty good, especially, you know, she's nice. She's a bit dark and a bit, you know, she definitely needs some work, but she's very nice, classic looking. She's definitely going to turn some heads wherever she cruises.
Amazing. Okay. Good value. Well, let's move on to the news. And our first story is that the 60-metre full custom Heesen Superyacht Ultra G has been delivered to a new owner following her sale. According to Heesen, the sale and delivery of the yacht have been coordinated with the Dutch authorities, and she was last seen undertaking sea trials last year. She's now undertaken her maiden voyage to Guernsey.
Yes, and this is actually one of Heesen's most powerful projects to date. She has a propulsion package totalling 22,000 horsepower, including four water jets, resulting in a top speed of 37 knots in light load conditions. And she was described by the yard as a sport fisherman in disguise. And she drew inspiration from two previous sport fishing models built by Heesen in the 90s. And she actually features a fighting chair and storage for 40 rods. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool. So we're actually running a feature on this yacht. We're just trying to get a writer on board. I think the water jets are interesting. They seem to be a growing trend in big yachts. We saw them in the Mangusta 165 Rev, which we featured in the April 2023 issue of Boat International. And they were on the recent San Lorenzo SP110. And another recent one is the Maiora 35 Exuma that can hit 35 knots, probably largely due to those water jets. So jets offer really fast manoeuvring and an amazing acceleration. And because they don't involve propellers, they're great for cruising in shallow, rocky waters. And the other thing about them is that they can be scaled, which is why we're seeing them on small yachts, big yachts and little runabouts.
That does sound very cool. So in other news, over in Italy, ISA Yachts has revealed a new 40-metre superyacht known as the ISA Unica 40. So she was designed in collaboration with Enrico Gobbi, Team for Design, and Palumbo Superyachts. She is a 390 GT model, and she's been christened after the market position as a unique specimen, quote. A spokesperson for ISA said that based on the analysis of what the current market has to offer in terms of innovation, design and functional solutions, this project was developed to create its own unique trends. I'm a big fan of ISA yachts in general. I think they're very car inspired, aren't they? They all seem to look like sports cars somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're sporty looking boats. So the next bit of news is a bit more businessy. The brokerage firm Burgess has partnered with Brazil Yacht Services to expand its offering for the South American market. A spokesperson for Burgess said that the team had fostered relationships in the region over the course of the last decade, and the new initiative underscored its long-term commitment to serving and developing the region's superyacht market. BYS International was founded in 2012 as the first Latin American-based superyacht agency in the world, and it's been working closely with Burgess since 2014. Its managing partner has 12 years of experience in yachting and has played a pivotal role in establishing BYM's charter management and brokerage services.
That's super interesting. We don't normally do much business news on the pod, but actually this is a really big move for Burgess. Well, not a big move. It sounds like it's been a long time coming, but it's nice to see that that market is growing a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. When they're taking when big firms like Burgess take interest in a market, I think that signals that there's some interesting things going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll whip through some data for you. So this is all powered by Boat Pro, and it's all about shipyards in Ancona in celebration of my little trip there. So I'll just tell you briefly what I was doing there. So I went to see Cantiere del Marche, as I mentioned, and I saw Maverick, which I've told Carolyn already because she sent me on this trip, is an extremely cool boat. It's got the crane on the back, which sits flush in the deck and then pops out and then lowers the toys into the water. So that was very cool. And then I saw, as I said, the Fretti Group's yard. So they've got a new superyacht yard there, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Like, the yard itself is just the sheds, but then they've got this office building that's literally, Caroline, looks like a hotel. I can't overstate how cool this facility is. It's beautiful. Like, when you're walking through, you feel like you're in some kind of luxury venue that's meant for, you know, not an office building. It was really, really cool.
Amazing.
Very Fretti Group, very extra in Italian. So there's CDM, Fretti Group, and then also in that region is Palumbo, which is the group that's part of ISA, which we just mentioned earlier. So of all those yards building around there, Custom Line, which is a brand of Fretti Group, has the most yachts on the water with 274 units delivered. So every year, obviously, Boat International does our global order book. Fretti Group is actually not involved in that global order book because, as I understand, they're a listed company. So they don't, we don't know how many projects they've got underway at the moment, or we can guess, but we don't know for sure. But CDM and Palumbo, we do know. So Cantiere del Marque have 17 projects underway. Palumbo has 12. The total LOA of CDM projects is 652, and the total LOA of Palumbo projects is 599. Obviously, Palumbo have got ESA and Columbus and Extra, and I think they also have Mondo Marine as well, so they've got a few under their umbrella. And then Cantiere del Marque's rank in the global order book is 15 and Palumbo's is 16.
How interesting. So CDM are very, you know, they build beautiful explorer yachts, both yachts that look very much like explorer yachts and yachts that don't look like explorer yachts but actually are explorers in disguise. So I wonder if their success is a signal about the continuing popularity of that segment of the market and what owners want to do with their boats.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they were a hive of activity and they seem to have a lot of owners from different parts of the world, which I think is always interesting. It shows they've got real global appeal. And it's interesting because most explorer yachts are built in Northern Europe, but they have really cornered this market in Italy, building yachts, explorer yachts, all steel. So they've got, I think, yeah, they've got four series, Darwin, Flexplorer, RJ, and Deep Blue.
Yeah, great yard. So turning to the Ferretti Group, just to talk through a few of their projects, they've got two Pershing 140s under construction. The new custom line Navetta 38 was recently launched, and I'm actually going to see her in Venice quite soon for a feature. The new custom line Navetta 50 will be delivered in September. And for CRN, another Ferretti Group brand, NJOY, N-J-O-Y, has just been delivered, and there are four projects on order, totaling 290 metres. The next launch will be Project Marinello, and that will be before the end of this year.
Exciting. So lots of movement over in Ancona.
Absolutely. And I'm just so pleased that you were able to go over there and see all of these exciting projects and yards in action.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Adam Geist and Naomi Wilson and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.